From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 22nd day of November, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Atchison, Kansas. Ben Pruce from the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility will be here to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets, and we'll discuss the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming from Illinois Public Media, will be here too to take a look at the newscast for the afternoon and all the goings-on with the Farm Bill in Washington, D.C. And it all happens during this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check the numbers for a Friday afternoon. As they settled up in Chicago at the CME Group, December corn for the day at 422 and a quarter, down 3/4 of a cent. The March at 429 and a quarter lower. And May futures at 437 and a quarter, settlement price down a quarter. July corn at $4.44 and a quarter a bushel, down a quarter as well. December of next year unchanged at $4.57 and three quarters. The soft red winter wheat finished the lead option December at $6.49 and a half, three quarters higher. And the harvest month July at $6.59, up 3 cents. July's hard red at $6.90 and a quarter, up 4.5 cents. January beans today, $13.19 and a half cents, 28 cents higher. March futures at $13.06, up 26 and a quarter. In the May at $12.90 and a half, up 24 and a half. July beans, $12.84, 23 and a quarter higher. And the November contract at $11.67, up 7 and 3 quarters. Bean meal in the December at $427.80, $16.80 higher. Bean oil at $41.16. That finished 38 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the December at $131.47 and a half, 2.5 cents higher. February contract down 55 cents at $131.80. The rest of the contracts down 50 and 30 cents there. Feeder cattle, January at $163.50 at 12.5 cents higher. March up a dime at $163.37 and a half, and the April and the May were down 15 cents and 5 cents respectively. Lean hogs in the December at $85.62 and a half, 62 and a half lower. February down 90 cents at $89.67 and a half, and the April and May down 25 cents and up a nickel. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the nearby January contract at $94.88 a barrel, down 56 cents. The RBOB gasoline, that's the wholesale price, a penny and a half lower, $2.72.08. And ethanol futures trading at $2.03.5, down a penny and 2 tenths. The difference between those two, or the spread, at 69.3 cents, is 0.3 cents narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.77.1 is up 6.9 cents, and diesel fuel at $3.04 even, 3.3 cents higher. Gold futures trading $1,244.10 when they settled this afternoon, 50 cents higher. The U.S. dollar at 80.7. That's down 0.36 for the day. What's the weather forecast look like for the Urbana-Champaign area? Well, this afternoon, we should have a high that is dropping. We've already made it to the high, I'm quite sure. But it's 38 degrees under cloudy skies outside of our studios at the moment. It will get much colder as we make our way through the weekend. And the National Weather Service tells us that those lows overnight should dip into the 20s on Saturday evening, I believe. Tomorrow we should have a high of 29 degrees and a low of just 11 degrees on Saturday night. Sunday, a high of 27. Sunday night, a low of 20. Monday, 36 degrees for its high. And Monday evening, partly cloudy skies and a low of 26. By the way, looking towards tonight, 24 degrees, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming clear. That's why it will continue to drop off in temperature. Our winds tonight out of the northwest at 7 to 13 miles an hour, and they'll gust all the way to 20. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on Illinois Public Media. We'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the November 22nd edition of the Closing Market Report of Friday afternoon. As usual, on the phone line, Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Mike, has the cool weather infiltrated your area already?
Yeah, it came in last night, Todd, and I have to say our prayers and thoughts are sure with all the listeners in Indiana and Illinois from last Sunday as this cold weather comes in. We've been thinking about you a lot this week, and hope things turn around quickly and things get rebuilt very quickly as well.
We are in that same passion. Thank you, Mike, for taking the time to talk about them just a bit. It's a rough row to hoe when nature manages to pull so much out from under you so quickly.
You bet, especially coming up against Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's turn your attention to the marketplace. Why is it the soybeans rallied today?
I think there's a couple things. I think you probably had a market that had seen the technicals hold earlier in the week and had seen something close to a 1.4 million metric ton export sale number yesterday morning and probably scratching their heads wondering where are the South American bushels and where's the South American supply to take off the pressure from us drawing down our supply so much. I think between that and the rebound in the meal market, especially Dease meal was the big winner today, Todd, with a 4+% move higher. I wonder if that didn't have something to do with the options expiring and some big open interest numbers and options for Dease meal and just the unwinding of spreading between it and the bean oil. And that may have been a residual of the EPA announcement as well. So I think there was multiple factors. Some minor factors that maybe played a role was that later in the week we had started to hear from Chicago talk of a possible El Nino, which means in some people's, weather people's opinion, that could drive the eastern corn belt into a hotter, drier pattern and maybe cause some problematic weather for Australia, essentially take away the perfect growing season that the trade had gotten used to here in the United States. And finally, I think the caterpillar issue in Brazil probably got a little bit more legs to it, no pun intended, but probably a little bit more fuel to the market looking at that. Although some of that, I think, is starting to wind down from a standpoint that it looked like some of the producers in Mato Grosso were getting out in the fields and seeing that their sixth or seventh or eighth application was starting to really do an effective job of limiting the caterpillar spreading. So I think all these things wrapped up, but I think the majority of the heart and soul of this turnaround was the technicals holding and the big export demand bringing back to the trade. Maybe we should be rationing a little bit more here at these price levels.
On the charts, I would think things look pretty good. In the weeklies, the January soybeans were up 39. They posted an outside week up. December bean meal, you already mentioned, it was up $17.30 on the week. And bean oil, while it gained just 69 cents, posted an outside up week too. So things in the bean pit, at least, are looking pretty sharp, I guess, on the charts.
Yeah, and I think your important, your technical numbers that you just threw out are very important to the producer out there because Jan Beans did see its best close since the end of September. So now at 1322 Jan Beans and $1.35 Gulf basis here in the United States, you're at $535 a ton at our Gulf of Mexico. I would say to the producers at this point, certainly I'm saying this to the people I work with, as you go over $550 a ton, probably going to be difficult to hold on to the export demand. You probably will start to see more competition come in and those export sales start to taper off. So between 1340 and 1370, where there's that gap we talked about on Commodity Week a couple weeks ago, I think that's where you start moving the balance of 13 beans in the bin or what you have on DP or whatever, and then start looking at that 1185 level in the new crop November beans to maybe start some sailing there with hedge targets between 1185 and 1225 on what I'll be talking about, especially as I get into the seminar winter marketing meetings rolling here in the next week or so.
Hey, speaking of those, you do have those scheduled. Let's see, you're in Jacksonville. You're here in Monticello. When's that?
That's going to be 6 p.m. in Monticello. They're right off I-72 at the Best Western, and a complimentary meal will be served there and in Jacksonville. And Jacksonville's on the 3rd at noon, and then Lafayette is on the 2nd at 10 a.m. local time. And I think, you know, it's going to be a neat seminar because I have not delved a lot into the livestock markets and the meat markets for probably ever since I was doing livestock analysis back at Utterbacks a long, long time ago. But this is going to be a very meat-intensive seminar because meat is the fuel for the demand market, in my opinion, heading into 2014. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a livestock producer, you may want to attend that meeting as well. It's not just going to be all about grains.
Yeah, I just finished up, in fact, producing my weekly Illini Farm Report, which is what I do for the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, and several stories from Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt talking about the rebalancing of the marketplace with the end of the ethanol boom and the importance of the livestock sector to the marketplace and its potential growth at these lower crop price levels.
I think it, like a lot of demand markets and a lot of things that are started with demand, they kind of sneak up on you. And one of the most fascinating statistics that, you know, I'll talk about is that the global meat exports in just less than 10 years have increased over 40%, and USDA expects a record in 2014 for beef and poultry again and a near record in pork. And if the demand market and the cash-led market, much like a 1996 or a 2006 corn market, is going to materialize and that analysis is going to be correct, I think it's going to be at the heart and soul due to this increased meat consumption and the compound feeding that it takes to feed this higher, richer, more populous, richer middle class that's coming, and it's already here in the world. And it's this is the fascinating part about the 2014 market year, is it's not really all that bearish. It could be a very solid year for commodity prices, and I think that's one of the things that I want to introduce and put out in front of everybody to see if they can't put that and incorporate that into their marketing plan.
Well, we've talked about some solid prices for soybeans, but the corn is a much tougher sell on that end. Tell me about it for the day and the week.
Yeah, for the week, it ended up maybe 2 cents at best. Now, the one thing that we did see, Todd, was a real movement in the basis and a real movement in the spreads. And, you know, earlier this week and back during the report around the 8th and the 12th of November, we had a DEIS March spread that was running 13 cents, almost 14 cents. That has collapsed to about a nickel, nickel and a half at times today during the trade. And so you're starting to see this demand we're talking about and the strong cash demand that we've seen in both interior markets and the export markets transmit itself and translate itself into the spreads. That's something that we need to see continue and will be one of the top things to watch as we go into Thanksgiving holiday.
Okay, one more time, just because I want to know for sure. It's the December second date I'm interested in. You're in Lafayette. Where and what time again?
Lafayette, we're going to be in the Holiday Inn downtown, and that's going to be at 10 a.m. local time. And then in Monticello, we're going to be at 6 p.m. Central local time at the Best Western off there, off I-72.
Both on December 2nd. Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again next week.
Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Now, we've talked a little bit about Mike's upcoming meetings, but Mike shows up in several of our Will Ag meetings as well. You can find the whole list of those online at WILLAG.org. There's a schedule over on the right-hand side of the page. There you'll find ways to register for some of the extension meetings that are listed there, including the Farm Doc meetings. Those come up the December 16th week. Our Outlook meetings and marketing panels beginning December 10th and 11th. That's in Mount Vernon and Sykeston. We've got January meetings. We have February meetings. And March the 4th, that's a Tuesday, is our all-day Ag Outlook, just in case you're looking ahead. It's all in our willag.org schedule, willag.org. Now here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, the Obama administration kept pressure on Congress yesterday to pass a new five-year farm bill with the release of a 50-page document stressing how the measure is important for what USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says is, quote, the nation as a whole.
Farming's a risky business. You can be the best farmer in the world, You can do everything right, and you can end up with no crop through no fault of yours. If you don't have a safety net, if you don't have programs that reduce that risk to a manageable level, a lot of people are going to get out of the business. And when they get out of the business, what that will mean is that the nation, which is currently a food secure nation, a nation that's capable of producing and in fact does produce virtually all that we need to feed ourselves, is no longer a food secure nation. All Americans benefit from conservation programs. I mean, we all want and need nutritious soil. We all want and need adequate quantities and better quality of water. And when you consider nearly half of the landmass of the United States is involved in forestry or farming or ranching, you realize that we have an impact through our conservation programs on the very essence of life. All Americans benefit from what we do when we expand market opportunities, whether it's export markets or whether it's a local and regional food system or whether it's a bio-based manufacturing facility that takes a waste product and produces a chemical or a fuel or an energy supply. It creates jobs. And the more jobs we have in the economy, the stronger our economy is, the less the deficit is, the stronger the nation is.
Yesterday, the chairman of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees and its ranking members met for several hours trying to reach consensus on a number of thorny issues, including food stamps and the structure of new commodity programs. No agreement was reached Wednesday, and with lawmakers today going home for Thanksgiving recess, it puts passage of a new farm bill very much in doubt. No additional meetings have been set by Senate and House ag leaders. House Speaker John Boehner is calling for adjournment on December 13th, leaving little time left this year to pass a bill out of conference committee and hold floor debates in the House and Senate. If lawmakers cannot pass a new farm bill by December 31st, there are two options: extend the farm bill that expired in September, or allow permanent farm laws written in the 1930s and 40s to take effect. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow says the Senate has no stomach for extension. It would continue direct payments to farmers, which a majority of senators oppose. But Farm Bill permanent law is outdated and would have numerous unwanted consequences, including spikes in milk prices at the retail level early in 2014. Vilsack says at some point USDA, lacking a new farm bill or extension, will be forced to implement permanent farm bill policy. Vilsack says USDA has no choice, but allows that, quote, no one wants to do that. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program will record about 4:30 this afternoon. Our panelists today will include Kurt Kimmel and Wayne Nelson, along with Dale Durkles. Our guest, Joe Carlin, is with Western Milling. He's from California. Commodity Week is our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets, posted to our website at willag.org, that's willag.org, by about 6 o'clock each and every Friday evening. There you'll also find a list of all the goings-on. That's over on the right-hand side of the page. Just look in the Outlook Marketing Panel section, and you'll find what we're doing. Beginning December the 10th is really our next meeting. There's an Agmasters meeting between then and now. That belongs to Crop Sciences and Extension, and there are ways to sign up and register for that one. But December the 10th, we'll be in Mount Vernon with a WillAg Outlook Marketing Panel in the evening, and then the 11th in Sykeston, Missouri. And there's a whole series of other meetings listed there, too. Stay up to date with us at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Let's check now the cash grain market. On the phone line with us from the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility is Ben Pruce. Good afternoon to you, Ben.
Afternoon, Todd.
Cold there today?
Absolutely. We're hoping for 20 here yet today.
Ooh, that sounds tough.
Yeah, better.
We're not quite that. We've been twice that high today, but
right.
But now we're dropping too. So
yeah.
And
yeah.
You have snow on the ground. How much?
Just a dusting. Just maybe a couple tenths. I mean, it's nothing real serious.
And everybody's all done in the field?
Yes. Yeah, we've been done here for probably close to 2 weeks. Tillage is done. Tractor's going back in the shed for the year.
And fertilizer's on, too. Anhydrous ammonia all put in?
Yep. Plugging away here. Those guys, I'd say they got maybe another couple, 3-4 weeks, and they'll have it wrapped up.
They'll be set up for next spring. But let's talk about the marketplace in the near term, because they've likely shut the bin doors as well. Have you got a pretty good basis?
Not yet today. In fact, basis in our neck of the woods is actually feeling pretty soft here as of late. Everybody's kind of got their belly full right now, and they're just kind of chewing through what we got. I mean, it's the ethanol plants, they're starting to back off here a little bit.
It's been a couple of weeks since I talked to you. What happened between those last 2 weeks? Because the last time around, you still had a pretty hot basis.
We were, but, you know, full-scale corn harvest really kicked into high gear, and we actually got some dry weather, and we just finished up our harvest, and once again, our processors got their bellies full, and they're able just to sit still for a minute.
Oh, so the end of the year, everything was full, and the rest of it came to town then.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was an interesting harvest, a long drawn out harvest, but got her done, and yields our neck of the woods weren't overly great, but you know we still have 165, 170 type ground anyways.
When do you suppose that you'll be hungry again for more corn?
We think it sits still here till after the first of the year. Then after the first of the year, I mean, most of these ethanol plants in our neck of the woods, they've got about a month or maybe two worth of storage. And with the farmer not moving any grain, feels like after the first of the year, we could see some fireworks, hopefully.
Well, you see fireworks. That usually means the upside, but will we drift? There are many that are talking much lower prices even still.
Yeah.
What do you think?
In my opinion here today, my guys, I'm hearing, hey, sell the corn, buy the call. And we're saying that doesn't feel like the right thing here today is let's get some corn, sold. And, we have been adamant about getting, 2014, 2015 hedges on the books while, revenue levels are still there.
And what do you see for the soybeans?
Soybeans, kind of an interesting picture. We really kind of see them kind of staying still. Actually, our basis has kind of softened up here in the last 2 weeks. Guys kind of getting their bellies full again. But after the first year, it could be the first 60 days into 2014 could be interesting. But once again, everybody hears about South American beans come April and how that could impact the marketplace. So maybe it might be the right time to take a look at some 2014 new crop hedges and maybe having 20-30% of your production in place.
And your bids for the day?
417 cash corn, 1284 cash beans.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Don.
Ben Pruess is with the Andersons at their Everly, Iowa facility. Joins us here on the closing market report for a Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Cranberry Relish Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1862, Dr. Alexander P. Anderson was born. He developed puffed rice in New York City in 1902, which was introduced to the world at the St. Louis World Fair in 1904. In 1869, the Cutty Sark was launched. Built of teak on an iron frame, it featured a new hull shape that allowed it to be driven harder than any other ship of its day. It quickly was recognized as the fastest ship, taking the Cape of Good Hope route, carrying tea on the China Run. In 1884, wheat to that date recorded the lowest price in recorded history in Britain, commanding 93¼ cents per bushel, 15 cents lower than the previous all-time low. The value of agricultural property in England fell by half to two-thirds over a decade due to its free trade policies and repeal of its corn laws, designed to protect grain prices from foreign imports. In 1967, silver hit what was then a record $2.17 on New York markets. And in 1972, after Richard Nixon became the first U.S. sitting president to officially visit China earlier in the year, on this day, the U.S. ended a 22-year travel ban to China. 4 months later, in February of 1973, the U.S. and China agreed to establish liaison offices in Beijing and Washington, D.C. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the closing market report for Friday afternoon. Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, on the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast for the weekend and next week with us. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with tonight and tomorrow and the next day. They don't look really nice to me.
No, they don't. I think somebody left the back door open and letting in all that cold air. And it's going to get down to 24 tonight, and tomorrow it's going to be up to 30, but it's going to be very windy. In fact, that wind's going to be pretty much out of the north, about 15 to 20 miles per hour. So it's going to be very chilly tomorrow. Tomorrow night, low of 11. And then on Sunday, it's up to 28. Maybe the winds will be a little calmer, but we're stepping into some real winter weather now.
Yeah, I will not be putting Christmas lights out this weekend.
That's right, yeah. So,
okay, well, I have a better chance sometime as we make it through the holiday next week?
Yes, next week temperatures will moderate when we get into Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and even Thursday. The highs are going to get back up in at least in the 30s, which after the weekend will actually feel kind of nice. And then lows, overnight lows down in the low to mid-20s. So it's going to moderate a little bit. Lots of sunshine next week. And even on Thanksgiving Day, it looks fairly sunny with a high near 33. So I think it's going to be cold and dry. So that's maybe good news for those folks that are having to travel for the Thanksgiving holiday.
And further out, do you see any changes to warmer weather than that, or do we maintain the 25, 35-degree highs?
You know, yeah, if you look out past that, it looks like that's going to hang in there. The colder and drier weather, the Climate Prediction Center is showing the 6 to 10-day and 8 to 14-day forecast, showing that cold air is sticking around in not only Illinois, but pretty much the eastern half of the United States for the next 14 days there. So it's going to stay cold and dry, probably not much snow or precipitation, but it's going to be chilly.
Okay, thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey joins us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Here are some of the weekly changes as they came in from the CME Group in Chicago. We'll give you the weekly change Friday to Friday. December corn this week was up a quarter at $4.22¼. December of next year at $4.57¾, finished 2 cents lower. January soybeans at $13.19½, up 39 cents. It posted an outside up week in the November contract of next year at $11.67½, up 13½ cents on the week. December bean meal at $4.27.80, finished $17.30 higher. December bean oil at $41.16, up 69 cents. It also posted an outside up week. December soft red winter wheat at $6.49½, a nickel higher. July at $6.59, that finished 3¼ higher. February live cattle on the week, the trade at $131.80 as it finished out, down $3 from Friday to Friday. January feeders at $163.50, were $2
$8, 32 and a half cents lower, and February lean hogs on the week at $89, 67 and a half, finished 60 cents lower. We'll take a complete look at the marketplace during our closing market report program, or rather Commodity Week program, recorded at 4:30 this afternoon, posted to our website at about 6 o'clock this evening. Our panelists will include Kurt Kimmel, along with a special guest, Mr. Joel Carlin from California. That is the closing market report.